There's a ton of these little files that I have to delete. Howdy and welcome to the podcast. And greetings. Happy holidays. It's that time of year again. The most wonderful time of the year. The time when Santa Claus went crazy. It was one of my favorite Weird Al songs. The night that Santa Claus went crazy. If you're younger than 1971, look that one up. Welcome to the podcast, if I haven't said that already. And this is a photography podcast, and my name is Mike, and I'm going to run that into the ground so I remember that I already said it. And we don't talk about photography very often, but we are going to talk about photography today. I've been working on the direction of my company and slowly working towards that goal, with my main audience being other photographers. And I'm watching the other guys on TikTok, and almost all of them, I'd say greater than 95%, are doing either gear pitch sales or some sort of tutorial. Even one guy started doing photo critiques, where you send in your pictures to his Instagram, and then he'll tell you if you did a good job or not. So I just, being a bit of a troublemaker, I said, all right, let's give that a shot. And I sent in one of my pictures to him. I'm not by any means the greatest photographer in the world. However, I don't need, I'm not a, what do they call that? Codependent person. So I don't need anyone else's approval. If it was up to me, the sexiest photographers I know are the Vivian Mayers of the world. The ones who never let anybody see their work. Chew on that for a minute. I would be just as happy if no one ever saw my work. And me being a shy person, I am entirely comfortable with taking all my pictures from the top of a mountain, a warm mountain, and never having contact with another human being again in my life, and never even developing my film, my pictures off of the film. So I've been busy doing that, following these guys and see where the trend is going, because the pandemic, just like anything else, is going to shape photography as well. It's going to be 3 years before photography is back to normal, and that's just... that's just the way it goes. We have a close quarters business. We have to be right up in people's faces and things like that. So it's going to be some time before, we can be, you know, back to actual normal. So I give it about 3 years. So in the meantime, I have to eat, and I have to pay for propane, and I have to pay for gasoline and things like that. So, keeping that in mind, I'm gathering my following for this podcast and listening to what they're talking about. And one of the things that kind of blows my mind as to what they're talking about lately is camera gear. You can't take a picture without any gear, and you can't take a good picture without the right gear. Of course, the best camera for the job is the camera that you have in your hand, because the camera that's not there is not the camera for the job. But it's not disheartening, but it's a little strange to see people still talking about how, oh, I only have an old Android phone, or I only have an old iPhone, oh, I only have... And I kind of equate this to the car industry. You know, there's a lot of animosity from one group of car guys to another group of car guys. But one thing that us track guys really tend to forget is that we don't support the industry. We buy less than 1% of the products that hit the shelves at Pep Boys. We buy less than 1% of the absolute mountains of stuff on Amazon for tuner culture, for whatever culture that you're into. Track guys buy less than 0.5%. And, you know, a lot of guys don't realize that and kind of forget that these guys are our bread and butter. The guys who put stickers on their cars, the guys who put the giant wing on their cars, the guys that do all those weird things that you see, the loud mufflers, that those are the bread and butter to our industry as a car guy. And the same is true for photography, the bread and butter to the industry, because we would not get new cameras if people didn't buy cameras that were never going to take any pictures with that camera. Literally look at it, put it in a box, and never be seen again. In most cases. Literally. And when these folks buy, you know, all these batteries and cameras, stuff that we're not, as businessmen, we're not going to buy all this stuff. It just doesn't make any sense. We're not in business to buy camera gear. We're in business to make money and create art. And sometimes we forget that it's those guys who buy the cameras that are never going to take a picture. They're the $1 million customers. They're the $1 billion customers. We have a camera, we have cameras from years and years and years ago. We have Canon EOS Rebel T3s that we still use to this day. And that means we're not buying any new cameras. We're not buying new drones. We're not buying new lenses. We're using, I bought one new lens in my career. In my illustrious 3-year career, I bought three lenses. I already have all my Nikon lenses, so I just bought a Nikon digital body, and then that was it. And then I bought the Yongno 50, and that's it. Oh, I bought a Micro Four Thirds for the drone. I bought a Micro Four Thirds lens for the drone, and I bought 2 cameras for the drone. And that's it. But go on Craigslist or Facebook Marketplace or eBay and type in, what is it? Inspire 2 drone. There's hundreds of them for sale. One, because they're exiting their life cycle, their usable life cycle as a professional tool. And the people who bought them, who thought they were going to open a drone business, realize that they're not going to open a drone business because they don't understand the business part of it. And they don't understand that all the drones that are out there are already being used. The market was saturated when the Inspire 2 was released. The market was saturated when the Phantom 2 was released. The market was saturated when the Phantom 4 was released with available drone pilots. It's really just that simple. You're not saying nothing slick to a can of oil. But it disturbs me a bit when you get on TikTok and they are still concerned about gear, but at the same token, on the other side of that coin, you kind of think, all right, keep buying cameras, because honestly, it's the best for all parties involved. It keeps my camera prices down, because if they stop buying cameras, then our prices go through the roof. You want to pay $90,000 for a D6? All right. You want to pay $300,000 for a Hasselblad? All right, let it whittle down to the professional market being the only ones who buy professional cameras. That's why cell phones have been excluded from the professional range, which they 100% can take over. Because literally all they need to do is add, have a dead a dead body camera where you slide your phone into it, and then it becomes a DSLR running on Android, connected to the internet and Wi-Fi and Bluetooth, with an easy-to-use interface and a giant screen. Could literally take over the industry. And they know that, and they haven't released that camera yet because of a gentleman's agreement not to destroy Canon, Fuji, Nikon, Hasselblad, because they could absolutely annihilate the phone market. But then they run into monopoly problems and things like that. So it's just better off just letting that sleeping dog lie until the time is right. Mark my words on that one. And another thing about Instagram and TikTok that, because I've been off of Instagram for some time now, every once in a while, since I know they're stealing pictures for their compilation things, I only put pictures of myself up. So every once in a while, I'll go in and put in a new picture of myself. I went in last week and kind of scrolled for a few minutes to see who's what, liked a couple pictures, and then I turned it off again. Literally take it off of the phone because I don't want it on my phone unless I'm actually using it. And it's okay to uninstall it and then just put it back later, next month. I saw again the paid promoted Instagram post, and I liked one of them by accident because I never wanted to encourage that. When I first saw it, I was like, this is really bad for photography, having photographers pay to put their posts up first on a dying platform. I said that back in 2017. And to have your picture promoted to who? To other photographers? What is that going to do? It's sad, but it also sorts out the photographers who think that your Instagram game being tight means you're going to have a good career. Photographer is no different from a vacuum salesman or a sewing machine salesman or a Jehovah's Witness or anybody for that matter who has a product to sell. You're selling pictures. My wife never really understood that when I say that I'm selling pictures. I'm not a photographer, I'm selling pictures, because the people don't give a shit about your camera. They don't care about your tripod. Or where you got where your Profoto lights came from. They don't know the difference between a Profoto light and a Yungnau light or a newer light. They don't know the difference. And they don't care. Because after all that said and done, they don't even know the difference of what the camera looks like. The only thing they care about is that they like their picture. That's it. That's all they really care about, is that the picture came out great. And then they're going to post it and put a filter on it and fucking ruin it anyways. But what do you care? You got paid. And that's another thing about Instagram. Like when I first started this thing, you know, I was going to argue with the business owners about product photography, about how the wide angle cell phone lens is distorting your product. But then I thought, you know what? I think people are actually getting used to that standard of beauty, that distorted standard of beauty, and they're okay with it. They're literally okay with just picture looking like hell, what we would consider hell. Just weirdly distorted, long hood on the car, weirdly twisted sandwiches, French fries that aren't in a straight line. It's just, you know, stuff that we would notice as professionals, but the paying public has no idea, and they don't care. They're going to go buy the French fries anyways. So you can kind of see where the $200 photographer comes from. And that's going to be a recurring theme with this podcast. The $200 photographer literally is the guy who is putting up good cash for Instagram to promote their post because they believe that Instagram is their career. Hold on a second. I hear a noise. One weird thing about living in an RV is that every time you hear a weird noise, you always kind of wonder what it is. In this case, you know, not that you think your home is going to get towed away, but people can be dicks sometimes. But back to the paid photographer. These photographers don't understand that paying Instagram to promote your photo because you think it's going to get you discovered or you think it's going to get you a job, it's kind of sad. What it will get you is some little girl who wants to be a model, who borrowed some money to take some pictures, and now she's going to get you to take those pictures, and she's going to try and keep some money in the end anyways. Excuse me, anyways. Is this thing still going? No. So, long story short, stay away from Instagram. It's not your friend. It's not your friend at all. And to pay somebody for something that you should be doing anyways, you should be the one out there knocking on doors and asking people for money. And if you make it out to be anything more than that, then you're not long for this world or this business. Because once you get it into your head that you're going to pay somebody else to do your thing for you, you might as well be paying someone else to do your thing for you. You might as well be paying a marketing firm. You might as well hire an agent who's going to get you jobs, and that would be well worth your time. But what do I know? You know, I just been in the game 2 years, 3 years. So what do I know? And I don't know. I want to talk some more about porn too, but before that, there's a lot of young photographers, a lot of young talented photographers on YouTube talking as if they are old talented photographers on YouTube and TikTok. And I know that I've only been in the game 3 years. I had a 30-year apprenticeship before that, but I can't. It's kind of, you know what I mean? It just kind of throws me for a loop a bit that they are presenting themselves as a seasoned photographer, which I've seen seasoned photographers, and I'm not one of them, but I've seen them before. And they don't talk like that. They don't present themselves like that. If anything, they'll talk about how much they don't know. It's a very strong argument for the Dunning-Kruger effect that, you know, I mean, there is so much I need to learn. Just with editing alone, I have light years to go. And I'm strongly considering paying someone to do my editing for me because it is that big of a job. I mean, it was a big job when I was a kid. That I see other photographers talking about, oh, I gotta send my pictures to the editor. I gotta send my pictures to the developer. And that was his job. The darkroom guy, that's all he did, was he made the pictures beautiful. And the photographer would stand by sometimes, kind of like Steven Spielberg in the editing room. You know, Steven Spielberg sits back and shuts up while the gods of editing do their thing, throwing in some import here and there as he kind of sees necessary. But in the editing room, Steven Spielberg is is second string. You know what I mean? He's not the main guy. So to me, to think that as a photographer that one day I'm going to get that good at editing is kind of foolish. I could be wrong. I've been wrong before. And to hear these younger guys and to look at them, 16, 17, 18, 19, 26, 25, 28, 32 years old, and see in their eyes that they haven't paid for it yet. They haven't paid for shit yet. And they're presenting it as if, oh, I can critique your photos. What they're doing is, I see one thing that they're doing is they're bringing in other points of view to bolster and build up their own point of view, which is nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with admiring other work and drawing inspiration. David Bowie did it all career long. And that's a good way to get a constant flow of inspiration. However, I can't in good conscience say to somebody that, oh, send me your photos and I'll tell you what you're doing wrong. You know, I don't know. It just seems borderline. It's not good. It's not bad. But it might be kind of ugly. I don't know. More porn. I have been giving this sincere thought. Having struggled with it myself for decades, and then to become a photographer and see that it is a huge part of what we do. Just going by the definition of porn itself, you know, it doesn't always apply to women. It doesn't always apply to the human form. Sometimes it applies to cars, especially in the modern definition. Car porn. Hardware porn, woodworking porn, sword making porn, ironworking porn, everything has its own version of gratuitous displays of that device. And when I see a picture of a Ferrari, when I see a picture of a Lamborghini or some rare Austin Martin or something like that, of course it's going to get 1,000 likes. Of course it's going to sell. Why? Because the car is doing the heavy lifting. And when you take a picture like Salvador Dali, I don't even think he even worked the camera. but he took great pains to orchestrate his scenes. And he did all that with one or two clicks. He probably took five takes on a picture, and that took the full day. Setup, breakdown, everybody on their mark, doing cover frames, doing a couple of practice frames, maybe seven pictures in a full day. And they were probably those old big ass large format pictures too. The one where he threw the cats in the water in there, he probably killed a cat or two doing it Milo and Otis style. And you know, it just, to compare that to the picture of a Ferrari Testarossa or a Lamborghini Countach or a Koenigsegg Agera, it's two different worlds. The designer of the car gets the credit for that photo. And I know that. And that's one of the reasons I switched to portraiture, because no one, well, God, designed the face. And I can't think of a more gorgeous thing to take a picture of. What do I know? I'm just a black guy from New Jersey. Thanks for tuning in. I have to get this place cleaned up. probably clean the windows today, and it's going to rain. I'm in New Mexico right now, Albuquerque, New Mexico. I'm actually rolling as we speak. Not actually physically rolling, but actually moving from spot to spot, being a traveling photographer and actually traveling and not sitting in a cow pasture. I go back to the cow pasture, but not today. Clean this mess up. Yeah, a lot to do. Yeah, tons to do. But thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening to me gripe about Instagram. I'm not putting down any of the other photographers. More just reflecting. Just like when you take a picture. You're just showing what's there. You guys have a great night, good holiday, and I'll talk to you next time.